Good morning. So we have 5 heroes to talk about today. And of the 5, only one has a name, which is an interesting thing to take note of. Now, you remember Elijah, who was under the juniper tree, and he was very discouraged, and he had the cake angel come to him, and then he heard the still small voice, and then he was given a friend, another prophet. And that other, the friend's name was Elisha. So we've got Elijah and Elisha. Not confusing at all. So when we get to 2 Kings chapter 2, we learn about these two going about their prophetic ministry. And in verse 2, Elijah says to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has called me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee." So they went to Bethel. And then you go down to verse 4, and Elijah says, "Stay here, for the Lord now has sent me to Jericho." And you can guess, Elisha says, "As the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee." So they went to Jericho. So in verse 6, Elijah says, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave thee." And the two of them went on. And so what we want to learn from this hero, his phrase to remember is, "I will not leave thee." This is a story of loyal friendship. The Lord also doesn't leave us. We are loyal to him. He is loyal to us. And the rest of that story kind of plays out in the next few verses. They're standing. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters as they stood up by the river Jordan. And they were divided. So they went over on dry ground. So they're on the other side, and Elijah says to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away," because he's going to be translated. Elisha said, "Let me have a double portion of the Spirit be upon me." And he said, "Well, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken up, then that's what'll happen. You'll have the double portion of the Spirit." So he does see him, and he is translated, and the mantle falls, or the cloak that he was wearing falls off him and fell upon Elisha, signifying that Elisha is now has the mantle of the prophet. So that's how that story plays out. Okay, so the next one is in chapter 4. And there's a lot of miracles, by the way. There's like 10 miracles in these chapters. Look for those. But there's a woman, a certain woman, of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, and goes to the prophet Elisha and says, "My servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that I fear the Lord. The creditors come to take my 2 sons to sell them into bondage." And Elisha said, "Well, what would you like to do? What would you like that I should do for you? And what do you have in the house?" And she said, "I don't have anything in the house at all but a pot of oil." And he says, "Okay, go to all your neighbors and borrow empty pots, empty vessels, and borrow not a few, because the Lord is about to do something big, so she needs a lot of containers." So she went from him and got those vessels, and he said, "Go into your house, shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and then pour out into the vessels." and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she goes, shuts the door upon her and her two sons, and she takes the oil that she had in the one little pot, and she starts to pour it into all the empty ones, and they were all filled. She filled every one that was there. And so then she went and told him, and he said, okay, so here's the two things you do. Sell the oil and pay all your debt. And secondly, from now on, you're going to live on the rest of the oil. So she was very blessed, and we call her the woman who pours out. Can you imagine her going to her neighbors in humility, and they know her situation, and saying, I want some empty pots. Can you give me some empty pots? And then this mighty miracle, this work, happened with her own boys in her own house by herself with the door shut, which is a reminder that the greatest work and miracles will occur at home. So sometimes the Lord needs emptiness so that it can be filled. So the next one is in starts in verse 8 of that same chapter. And this lady, she doesn't have a name. She's just called a great woman. And Elisha passed into Shunem, and there was this great woman. And she said, here, I've got some bread to feed you. Come here. And every time he went by, she always had bread to feed him. And she said to her husband, I think this is a holy man of God, which passes by us frequently. So let's make a little place for him to stay on the wall over there. Just get a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and we'll just put it up against that wall right there. And when he comes, he can stay here. So he comes and he does stay there. And he said unto her, you've been careful for us with all the to care for us. So what can we do for you? And she said, I'm fine. I don't need anything. I live along with my own people. And so he says to his traveling companion, what can we do for her? And Gehazi, the traveling companion, says, she doesn't have any children, and her husband is old. So he tells her about this season, according to the time of life, you will have a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. But she conceived, had a son at the time he said she would. And when the child was grown, or had grown older, the child had an accident and hit his head, and he ended up dying. So she goes to this man of God, Elisha, and he came, and through a series of events, he raised her, raised the child back from the dead. But what's interesting is when she comes to him, he says, is it well with you? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she says, it is well. Her son has just died, but it is well. Which is interesting that she has that perspective even in a severe trial. She is a woman who served quietly. Her nature was to serve even daily. And she gets promised great blessings for them. And even when all was not well, she sees the prophet and she says all is well now, because she knew she would get help. So that's the great woman. So the next one is in chapter 5. And Naaman, who is the captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a big deal. Big deal. honorable, a mighty man in valor. However, he had leprosy. And back then, leprosy was going to kill you. And so this little maid, that's our next hero, is the little maid who waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So they told him, "Thus and thus said the little maid about this prophet in Israel." So that's interesting that, you know, the little maid was probably a servant, and she was a follower, so she was probably from Israel, but here she is as a servant in another household. So she was probably taken and forced to serve, and yet she had a kind heart and wanted to help him. That story plays out. Naaman goes to the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha doesn't even come out. He's traveled all that way. Elisha doesn't come out. He sends a messenger out and says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall again come upon thee, and thou shalt be clean." Well, Naaman was mad. And he thought, surely he would come out to me. I'm a big, important person. Should have at least come out. Strike his hand over the place, recover the leper, but it wasn't any big thing. He just told him to go. So he went away in a rage. And his servant said unto him, "If the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would you have done it? Now how much rather then he saith unto thee, wash and be clean." So he went down. He dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So the interesting thing there is 7 dips in the river Jordan. Which one of those healed him? Was it the first dip? Was it the 7th dip? It's actually a rhythm of holiness that we can take from this. In the end, it's all of the dips. It's that rhythm of going into the water again and again and again and again. So think about your rhythms of holiness that keep you healed, that bless your life. Your daily dip into the scriptures, your daily dip as you pray to Heavenly Father and commune with Him. What are your rhythms of holiness that occur day after day after day? So that is the little maid. We have one more, and that's the servant, and that's in chapter 6, 8 through 18. And this is an interesting story too. I'm going to start in verse 5 just because I like the miracle right here. They were, a bunch of these people were felling a beam, and the axe head that one of them was using fell into the water. And of course it's heavy, so it goes to the bottom. And he says, "Oh no, it was borrowed. Alas, master, it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither, and the axe head came up and floated. "Take it up to thee," and put out his hand, and he took it. So that's a problem that's only a problem to the man who borrowed the axe. No one else cares. It means nothing to anyone. The man who borrowed the axe is going to have to buy a new one. But the lesson here is that Heavenly Father is attentive to our individual needs and concerns. I thought that was interesting. Okay, so our next hero is the servant. So the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, and behold, a host compassed the city. So he wakes up early in the morning and he looks out there, and there's horses and chariots, and they are surrounded by the enemy. And he says, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Have you ever had the "how shall we do" moments? What am I going to do now? Now what am I going to do? Sort of a thing. He answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So the servant sees all kinds of problems and dooms, but then he saw. He chose to see, and he sees that the Lord is going to fight this battle for him. President Eyring said, "Like that servant of Elisha, there are more with you than those you can see opposed to you. Some who are with you will be invisible to your mortal eyes. The Lord will bear you up and will at times do it by calling others to stand with you." Like that quote. So the thing to remember from that servant is, "and he saw." So those are our five heroes for this week. I look forward to your questions, and remember to always follow the Savior's admonition to come follow me.